Hello, everyone. This is Rob Wolf, and welcome to episode number 6 of Unformidable, where we take a look at some of the less heralded Mets in our beloved franchise's quirky history, as every player who dons the orange and blue is, in their own way, unformidable. So, before we dive back into the past, just looking at the present, it certainly was a rough week to be a Mets fan, or actually, perhaps it was a pretty standard week to be a Mets fan, and everything's just returning to normal. seems like of late we have the whole April thing down thus far, but as far as the rest of the season goes, not so much. However, there was one positive development this past week, one thing for Mets fans to crow about, and that was, of course, the incredible performance of Noah Syndergaard. Noah's only possible in the Superior National League rules, only Little League-style end-game dominance Thursday afternoon was just a unfortunately a rare delight for a frustrated fan base and probably a frustrated franchise right now. As you may have read after the game, I thought that was amazing that it was only the 7th time in Major League history that a pitcher threw a 1-0 shutout and homered, first time by a Met, and it hadn't been done since 1983 by Bob Welsh. I did read up afterwards, however, that it was the 7th time in Met history that the team won a 1-0 game where the pitcher drove in the only run. So, most famously and, you know, bizarrely and statistically absurdly for a franchise with over 9,000 games played, two of them came in a doubleheader. I think those are probably the most famous ones because, of course, it was in the 1969 season with Jerry Kuzman and Don Cardwell turning the trick in a 69 doubleheader against the Pirates. There are some, of course, there are a couple more obscure entries on that list. Buzz Capra against the Giants, and of less, well, not obscurely, Zach Wheeler did it last July in PNC Park, and that was actually the first time it was done by a Met pitcher in 41 years. And the previous player to do it, who'll be the subject of today's podcast, is Nino Espinoza, who did it against the Phillies in 1977. Espinoza's 1-0 Little League victory was one of the only other complete games besides Thor's. Kuzman's was a complete game. Ray Sadecki, who I considered doing, but you know, he was a Cardinal, and who wants to talk about those people? I remember him primarily as a Cardinal, and screw those guys. I mean, I'm mostly throwing that in there in the event my wife listens to this and here's me saying, screw the Cardinals. Hi, Allison. But the complete games were by Kuzman, Ray Sadecki, of course, Noah Syndergaard, and Nino Espinoza. And I want to warn you, this podcast is not going to have a happy ending this time. But, you know, we're Met fans, so we should be able to handle that. For now, there's going to be a lot of joy beforehand, though, because this is a pitcher who played with joy. So I'm just going to introduce the well-named, well-coiffed Enulfo Acevedo Espinoza, known as Nino. Now, I went to my first Mets game in 1979, which if I'm being honest, I barely remember. And Nino had moved on from the Mets in 78 anyway, so I wouldn't have gotten to see him play anyway. But I do remember my baseball card collection, and that 1979 Mets Nino Espinoza baseball card is quite memorable to me, as Nino sported one of the great fros in baseball history. And in fact, I'm gonna tweet a couple of pictures of those baseball cards out. They're just glorious, and yeah. But before we get to 1978 and 1979 and his career, we'll just look at Espinoza's background, where he signed as a free agent out of the Dominican Republic with the Mets in 1970 at the age of 17, and he worked his way up through the minors, making his debut in 74. 74 and 75, he made two appearances each season before getting a more extended look with the Mets in 1976, where he made 12 appearances, five starts, and finally kind of broke his rookie eligibility before becoming a permanent fixture in the rotation in 1977, which he would be for the 77 and 78 seasons for the New York Mets. So at the age of 23 in 1977, Espinoza actually had a pretty impressive season for what was a really bad team. He actually finished third in WAR, according to Baseball Reference, for the team that year, behind only Lenny Randle and John Stearns. Love me some John Stearns. Nino put up a 3.2 WAR that season. He made 29 starts through seven complete games, one shutout, not a 1-0 shutout where he drove in the only run. Went 10-13 with a 3.42 ERA. So at the age of 23, you know, probably looking like a bit of a bright spot for a moribund franchise, 109 ERA plus, and just looking like a, you know, prospect or a good young pitcher. And again, just looking really, really fucking cool. I mean, with that beautiful blue and orange Met hat, barely perched on top of his fro, barely holding on for dear life when he pitched. There were several Mets in the, I guess it was that late 70s, that kind of had trouble keeping the hat on their head when they pitched, many of whom could probably be fodder for this podcast. But, again, by all accounts that I've, he was a very lovable, enthusiastic, passionate player. And if you look online, like at the Ultimate Mets database, you know, people have fond memories of watching him pitch, of his providing autographs, and just being a very engaging player.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Hey everybody, I'm Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge, and this is The Vergecast. Vergecast is the flagship podcast of The Verge. Every week we cover the latest in tech news and reviews. We take a critical look at what is going on now and next in the world of tech. The show is hosted by me, our executive editor, Dieter Bohn.
Not your friend.
And Paul Miller.
It just feels like there's something wrong with all computers, though. Don't you think that sometimes?
We do that on Fridays, and on Tuesdays we have an interview episode. I've been talking to all kinds of influential people in and around the world of tech. We talked to Microsoft founder Bill Gates about his philanthropic efforts.
You can design systems without having to reveal any individual's particular medical record.
Journalists and academics like Lina Khan, who thinks that we should be doing way more to break up giant companies like Amazon and Facebook.
I think in hindsight, allowing Facebook to buy up both WhatsApp and Instagram proved to have been the wrong call.
And we talked to tech CEOs like Vizio's Bill Baxter, who explained exactly how smart TV manufacturers make their money.
It's about post-purchase monetization of the TV.
It's ads. Check us out every Friday to hear about everything in tech, from new iPhone leaks to breaking down Facebook's ongoing issues of privacy to just me and Paul ranting at each other about the role of the government. And check us out on Tuesdays when I host the interview episode. Subscribe to The Vergecast wherever podcasts are served. We'll see you then.
We led with it, so we'd be remiss if we did not touch on perhaps the pièce de la résistance of Nino's time with the New York Mets. So at the near the end of that 1977 season, September 14th, 1977, Espinoza matched up against the man who would win the Cy Young Award that year, Mr. Steve Carlton, at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. And in that matchup, which was scoreless into the fifth until with two outs, Nino Espinoza singled to center, knocking in Luis Rosado, which with what would be the only run of the game, as Espinoza would go on to outduel Carlton, going the distance in the 1-0 victory over the Phillies. Espinoza would give up 3 hits and 3 walks, striking out 4. Not quite as exciting as Thor's outing, but still pretty damn cool, especially in outdueling the future Cy Young Award winner of the season. So the fine way to end a season, and you know, at the end of 1977, I think it looked like everything was coming up Nino, and the future was bright and exciting for a 23-year-old pitcher coming off a solid season. Unfortunately, he was unable to replicate that in 1978. Espinoza did pitch a full season, 32 starts. He went 11-15, this time recording a 4.73 ERA. The only, if you go on his baseball reference page, the only black ink you'll see is that he led the league in earned runs allowed that year with 107 in 203 innings pitched. And it was a well-deserved by any metrics. He only struck out 76 batters in those 203 innings, 74 ERA plus. So it was definitely a disappointing season, and the Mets reacted. So in that offseason, the Mets traded the young pitcher to the Phillies for proven veteran and some offensive help in Richie Hebner and Jose Moreno, thus bringing Nino's brief but joyful time with the Mets to an end. Nino went on to have a respectable 1979 with the Phillies, made 33 starts, went 14-12, 212 innings, and it was a member of the rotation 1980. Starting out the season, he made 12 starts, going 3-5, 76 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts. Nino is not a strikeout pitcher. His career strikeouts per 9 innings was 3.7, so pitched to contact. But yeah, I found those numbers pretty startling. But anyway, he developed arm trouble in 1980 and landed on the DL. And from what I've read, the Phillies wanted to move him to the bullpen when he came off the DL, and he objected to that and consequently was not a member of their 1980 postseason roster. So he did not participate in the playoffs at all, as the Phillies went on to win the World Series that year. Espinoza came back in 1981 at the age of 27, what would be his last season in baseball. He made 14 starts for the Phillies before being released, latched on with the Toronto Blue Jays, where he got in 1 game and pitched 1 inning, which was the last appearance of his career. So for his career, he was 44-55, 25-33 with the Mets. So he did spend the bulk of his career as a New York Met. But as I warned earlier, the story of this joyful junk-balling right-hander who is very fondly remembered, I think, by Met fans of that era, does not have a happy ending at all. You know, Espinoza passed away at the age of 34 of a heart attack in his hometown of Villa Altagracia in the Dominican Republic, Christmas Eve, 1987. So an unfortunately short baseball career and a tragically short life. So cherish all these baseball memories while you can. When you're watching a game this week, pour one out for Nino Espinoza. Thank you, as always, for listening to Unformettable. Please go to AmazingAvenue.com for more Mets-related content. Follow Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and the Gram at Amazing Avenue. And you can find this and all of our amazing podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Original music by Bunga. Please follow me on Twitter at WolfRR, WOLFFRR, or the show itself at Unformettable. And as always, let's go Mets.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears and video games,
Pittsburgh Batman,
the hell of being trapped in a group text,
unreliable legal advice.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Like the time Arkansas decided to use a captured feral hog as a mascot, and it escaped and it wound up killing 7 rattlesnakes, a pig, and a coyote.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Unless it is.
Damn it.